SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this bulletin, family of Western Australia's first child to die in youth detention hope an inquest will lead to an overhaul of the justice system. Northern Territory Police Union says enforcement of two-week youth curfew in Alice Springs may be unlawful. And Iran says it will retaliate after Israeli airstrike hit consulate in the Syrian capital. The heartbroken family of Western Australia's first child to die in youth detention hope an inquest will lead to an overhaul of the justice system. 16-year-old Cleveland Dodd was found unresponsive after harming himself inside his cell in a troubled youth wing of a high-security adult prison in the early hours of October 12, 2023. The Indigenous teen was taken to hospital in a critical condition where he later died, causing outrage and grief in the community. His mother, Nadine Dodd, told media at a pre-inquest media conference on Tuesday that her family was still reeling from the loss of her son. If you or someone you know needs support, call Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636 or call Lifeline on 13 11 14. The Northern Territory Police Union says the enforcement of a two-week youth curfew in Alice Springs may be unlawful. The Northern Territory Police Association says they've received advice that the Emergency Management Act 2013, which is the legal basis for the NT government's emergency measure, does not allow for the enforcement of the curfew. President of the NTPA, Nathan Finn, says this leaves officers at risk of acting unlawfully.
Our concerns is that the Emergency Management Act, which the ministers relied on, obviously, to claim these powers, is potentially unlawful and putting our members in a situation where they're actually going to be acting unlawfully. We don't mean to be obviously critical of the decisions by this government, but we've seen time and time again that our members are the last thing that they're thinking about, okay? They're putting these legislation forward, they're making them do this work. We're saying that we don't support the legislation which they've come across, and we're trying to protect our members to make sure they're supported in doing what they need to do.
The youth curfew, in place from 6pm to 6am each night, follows an eruption of violence last Tuesday where up to 150 people were involved in brawls following the death of a teenager in a car accident. NT Chief Minister Eva Lawler says she welcomes any potential legal challenges to the government's emergency declaration. Ms Lawler says the government is still determining whether or not to extend the curfew. More than $62 million was donated to campaigns during the 2023 Voice to Parliament referendum. The Paul Ramsay Foundation was the highest donor during the referendum, with $7 million spent on the Yes campaign. Australia's Big Four banks spent a combined $7.9 million on the Yes campaign. Australians for Unity received almost $10 million in donations for its No campaign. Iran says it will retaliate after an Israeli airstrike hit its consulate in the Syrian capital Damascus, killing seven Iranian military commanders. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi says Israel is turning to blind assassinations after failing to destroy the will of the resistance. Israel has a long history of targeting Iran's military installations in Syria, but Monday's attack is the first time it hit the embassy complex. Protesters took to the streets of Tehran calling for retaliation. Mohammad Ravizi was among them.
We know that this act is done out of desperation, and that the regime is in a serious predicament and is caught in its internal crisis and the war in Gaza. It is natural that, in line with the crisis-solving strategy, it tries to transfer the crisis from the inside to the outside, to free itself a little, so this rude action can make it easier for them.
The World Central Kitchen Charity Group has confirmed that seven of their aid workers, including Australian woman Romy Frankham, were killed in an Israeli airstrike while delivering food to northern Gaza. The food relief organisation says the group of workers were killed despite coordinating their movements with the IDF and driving through a deconflicted zone in vehicles branded clearly with the charity's logo. World Central Kitchen CEO Erin Gore called the attack unforgivable and sees the killing as an attack on all humanitarian organisations trying to prevent widespread starvation in Gaza. Mark Purcell is the Chief Executive Officer at Australian Council for International Development. He told ABC's afternoon briefing program that this attack was part of a broader trend that has seen 196 humanitarian workers killed since October 7.
Zomi was one of a small band of fairly special Australians that commit themselves to going into conflict zones or disaster zones, putting their own lives at risk. So our hearts go out to her family and her colleagues at World Central Kitchen for her loss and the loss of her colleagues. It seems to be part of a larger pattern, unfortunately, though, that humanitarian workers have been targeted, although the Israeli Defence Forces are aware that they're operating in the area.
Opposition leader Peter Dutton has called for a shift to nuclear energy in an attempt to lower electricity prices for small business owners. Speaking at the National Small Business Summit in Sydney, the opposition leader has highlighted the advantages of nuclear power, saying it has the potential to boost the economy. The opposition is gearing up to present a new proposal which will recommend the repurposing of old coal factories into nuclear facilities. Mr. Dutton says Australia is one of the few major economies that has yet to create a nuclear policy.
Nuclear is the only proven technology which emits zero emissions, which can firm up renewables, and which provides cheap, consistent and clean power. And yet, bizarrely, Australia is the only country in the top 20 economies in the world which has not embraced domestic nuclear power or is taking steps to do so.
Tensions are flaring between the state and federal government over the delayed completion and cost blowouts of the Inland Rail Project. The major freight line project is a 1,700-kilometre rail line intended to link Melbourne and Brisbane via the regions, reducing truck volumes, highway congestion, carbon emissions, and to better connect farmers to businesses. Cutbacks to the program came after an independent review in 2023 found major cost blowouts in the former government's plan. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says Barnaby Joyce left the project in a mess.
Inland Rail was the one project he talked about, and frankly, it still didn't have a route to the port, any port at all. In Brisbane, in Gladstone, in Melbourne, it was massively over budget, with over $31 billion. This is a mess. This is a mess that the Coalition left with unfunded, unplanned thought bubbles without having a proper plan for Inland Rail.
Premier Stephen Miles is adamant the rail must reach Brisbane as promised and says he has never seen a more incompetent attempt to get approvals in his entire time in government. Hazard reduction burns in Victoria's state forest will continue after the federal court ruled they were unlikely to impact local endangered possum populations. Environmental group Save Our Strathbogie Forest was seeking an injunction against Victorian government's planned burns in the Strathbogie state forest over risk to the southern greater glider. In handing down his decision, Justice James Horan said burns would generally result in low-intensity fires with limited impacts on the canopy. The judge noted the collapse of hollow-bearing trees could kill or injure gliders sheltering inside, but said it was unlikely to be common or widespread. Save Our Strathbogie Forest President Bertram Lobert said the group was dismayed by the decision. The Bureau of Meteorology says the El Niño weather event is ending with rain soaking large parts of the country, indicating a looming La Niña. The Bureau declared an El Niño weather event in the Pacific Ocean last September, expecting dry conditions and above average temperatures. However, dry conditions have been limited throughout the country this year, with the Northern Territory averaging just under 260 millilitres of rain in March, the second highest March rainfall on record since 1990. The La Niña weather events are categorised by wetter conditions and lower than average temperatures. Taylor Swift is now ranked as one of the world's richest people. She's entered the Forbes World's Billionaires list for the first time with an estimated net worth of $1.68 billion. Forbes says there are a record 2,781 billionaires for 2024. And now for a look at today's weather. Broome, mostly sunny 38. Perth, sunny 31. Adelaide, a shower or two, 21. Melbourne, showers 17. Hobart, cloudy 15. Albury-Wodonga, sunny 22. Canberra, mostly sunny 23. Wollongong, a shower or two, 22. Sydney, a shower or two, 25. Newcastle, a possible late shower, 26. Brisbane, a shower or two, 31. Townsville, a possible shower, 31. Cairns, also a shower or two, 31. Alice Springs, sunny, 27. Darwin, a shower or two and a possible storm, 34. And the Torres Strait Islands, showers and a possible storm, 32. And that is NITV Radio News.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.